The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today my guest on Off the Shelf is Vice Admiral Raquel Bono. She is the Director of the Defense Health Agency. And Admiral, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation. This is, I think, one of the unsung areas of when people think about the Department of Defense. They think about, first and foremost, they think about the warfighter and supporting the warfighter and what happens. But ultimately, this the medical corps is, in my view, one of the unsung heroes or the unsung heroes of the Department of Defense. So thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
So today we're going to talk about the Defense Health Agency, its organization, priorities, your vision for it, where it's going. There's been a lot happening over the last few years. And we'll definitely talk about last year's NDAA and what it means for Defense Health Agency and ultimately for the warfighter and their families. Yes. Mm-hmm. And retirees. So first, just to start with, Defense Health Agency, I think it's been around since about 2013. As it's currently structured, it's a relatively new organization. Can you talk about, you know, how it came to be? And then we can, and I'm just going to open up and let you talk about where it's going, what your vision is for it.
So, great. Well, thank you very much. And thanks for this opportunity. I think that as part of the military health system, I think that you're right. The Defense Health Agency is one of the newest elements of the military health system, and we're relatively nascent. But we came about through some very deliberate planning that's been going on for some time now. In 2011, we had the MHS Task Force, which was a group of leaders from all the services that participated and looked to see what are some of the efficiencies that we can gain in the military health system. And out of that task force, which was in 2011, was the decision to stand up the Defense Health Agency. So it was created by the services, for the services, and from within the services that we would stand up the Defense Health Agency. This decision was then codified by the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Secretary Work, who then, through a series of memoranda, directed that the military health system stand up the Defense Health Agency, designate that Defense Health Agency as a combat support agency, set up the enhanced multi-service markets, which are regional markets across the United States, and then also directed that within the Defense Health Agency, we would create a portfolio of 10 shared services. And so in October of 2013, we established the Defense Health Agency, and in October of 2015, we reached full operating capability, so FOC.
Right. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So, from a from a management's perspective, and listening to you to describe it, it sounds to me like one of the goals for this was the idea of leveraging services, leveraging capabilities across the services, trying to for lack of a better term, eliminate redundancies that were unnecessary to provide more bang for the buck? Is that what the goal is?
That's a great description. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the 10 original shared services that are within the DHA portfolio, you'll recognize that these probably represent about the 85% of the commonalities across Army medicine, Navy medicine, and Air Force medicine. Things like health information technology, medical logistics, medical facilities, the TRICARE health plan, just to name a few. But yes, that was exactly the intent, was to identify those commonalities, those common processes and functions across the military health services and bring them together and create some efficiencies.
Well, I have to follow up on that I've been the last time I've observed a big, I think we all have, is when DHS was created, when they took like 20, it's not, yes. I mean, well, maybe it's as big a challenge, but DHS, you took, what was it, 20 some odd different entities and mushed them together and to create DHS. There's probably some of the same challenges there in terms of culture, possibly, and the different services, from as an observer, there can be parochial approaches to things, right?
I can't imagine.
when you were standing this up, when what were some of those biggest challenges in trying to get everybody on the same page?
Sure. Well, I think definitely anytime you bring any number of people or organizations together, there will be challenges. But I think one of the benefits of healthcare is that the end goal is still the same. It remains the same in the medical departments. And that is how well can we improve the healthcare support and the healthcare delivery to our patients, whether they wear a uniform or whether they're the family members or the retirees and their family members. So I think that's one of the neat things about being in the medical department and in the military health system. That goal of healthcare for our beneficiaries remains fairly constant. The other thing that's fairly constant for all of us in the services is that we want to be ready to support our warfighters, no matter what uniform they're in. And when you share those kind of goals, then there's some relative unanimity that you can create going into an endeavor such as this. Now, there are some challenges because we do things in a slightly different way, there may be some preferences. And I think the opportunity that we have here in the Defense Health Agency in working with the services is looking at the differences and how some of the care can be delivered and then figure out which is the best process and which process gives our patient the best outcome. And I think that's what the opportunity is with the Defense Health Agency.
Yeah, I could see the opportunity to looking at how the care is delivered across these different organizations. And I think that is a huge opportunity, right?
Yes.
As you just described, to identify the best practices. And you mentioned the warfighter. So, I am a complete layperson when it comes to medical. I only go to the doctor because I have to, right? But in the context of DHA, you talk about medically ready for deployment. Mm-hmm. What is DHA's role in that when you talk about the ensuring servicemen and women are medically ready for deployment?
Well, you know, I think that's one of the things that really distinguishes our health system from other health systems. We talk about the warfighter and getting them ready to deploy or go downrange or to help support our national security efforts. And so for us in the military health system, when we're taking care of our warfighters, what that means is we want to make sure that they're in the best possible shape that they can be, physically, medically, emotionally, and in other domains of their lives, to be able to go downrange and do the job, concentrate on the job that they need to do. I think a really good example is what at the start of this particular conflict in Iraq over the last 10 to 15 years of war, at the very start of it, we had to be prepared to deploy 1,000 paratroopers from the air into northern Iraq in less than a minute, in 58 seconds. Now, you don't just drop these paratroopers into a target without making sure that they don't have any medical conditions that would preclude their ability to do that. We also wanted to make sure that knowing that the environment they were going into, that there might be some threats to their health, that we had them either fully immunized or that we made sure that they weren't at risk for coming down with some of those disease threats. So when you talk about preparing the warfighters, for us it takes on a slightly different meaning. And so that's one of the things that we do in preparing that. The role of the Defense Health Agency in that situation is to make sure that we're supporting Army, Air Force, Navy in their efforts to make sure that their warfighters, their warfighters that do their specific tasks, are prepared. And so we make sure that we support Army, Air Force, Navy. And then in those areas where there may be commonalities or maybe some slight seams, then the Defense Health Agency can help fill that in. And an example of that would be if everyone's ordering a certain type of immunization for their Army soldiers and for the Navy sailors and the Air Force airmen, then rather than each service ordering those immunizations, the Defense Health Agency can do a bulk order of that immunization and make that available to all the services.
Right, and that way you leverage the requirement, probably get better pricing.
Exactly.
On it, right? And organizational efficiencies internally, hopefully, as well, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things. We aggregate our buying power, for one thing. which is, and we can now leverage that supply chain management. And then that actually frees up the bandwidth for the services to really concentrate on the unique needs of their types of warfighters.
Right. I can imagine when you described as well preparing the paratroopers to, for action or going in country, you know, just, and you mentioned immunizations and that sort of thing. I can imagine it's more complex than it even sounds, just
yes.
because you go to different parts of the world. There are different issue health risks
yes.
associated with, right?
Oh, exactly. And I mean, you know, some of the things that we consider are things probably that are not necessarily on other people's radar or tickler list or to-do list. I mean, we have to make sure that their teeth are okay as well.
Sure.
You know, we don't want to send anybody
you gotta
in.
Eat, right?
Right, you got to eat. Well, you don't want to send in anybody who's going to need a root canal.
Right, absolutely.
So,
kind of get a little distracted there.
Right.
Well, Admiral, we have to take our first break. My guest today is Admiral Raquel Bono. She is the Director of Defense Health Agency. We're talking about the Defense Health Agency mission and the vision for it and opportunities moving forward. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Vice Admiral Raquel Bono. She is the Director of Defense Health Agency, and we're talking about its mission. You know, some interesting changes going on and its opportunities to further support the warfighter and their families. And when we took the break, Admiral, we were talking about, you know, how you prepare medically ready, you know, get warfighter, the paratroopers, that's the example you used, medically ready for deployment. But that there's other aspects of readiness, right, for the warfighter and for their families, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much, because I think readiness is actually a much larger issue, a larger entity that we also support. Not only do we support the paratroopers, if I can use that same example again, we also have to support the air crew in making sure that they're prepared, that they're in the best of their health, that they don't have any kind of a condition that would otherwise detract or degrade their ability to fly these paratroopers into the range and be able to coordinate those activities. But also, in terms of this readiness, it's also being able to take care of family members so that those that do have to go forward deployed or have to be forward downrange, that they know at all times that their families are taken care of and that that's not something that they have to worry about while they're prosecuting the mission for the United States, ensuring our national
right.
security.
Yes. You know, you want a focused mind, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. So how does DHA support the families in that?
So great question, because this is one of the things that I think is actually a larger part of what being in the medical department is all about. And so through the Defense Health Agency, one of the other items in my portfolio is the TRICARE Health Plan. And so with that TRICARE health plan, we complement the services, the clinical services that our beneficiaries, the family members, retirees, and their family members need that we don't offer already within our military treatment facilities in our hospitals. And so by being able to provide that kind of care to our family members, we make sure that they have access to care, that they get there in a timely fashion, and that they have the appropriate follow-up and follow-on care.
Right. Well, while you mentioned TRICARE, is there a new program underway with regard to TRICARE?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
I can. I'd be delighted to. So we've done a couple of things with our new TRICARE health plan. We've gone from 3 regions to 2 regions because we feel that we can get better standardization of our processes and so that there's a more consistent type of product, of healthcare product for our beneficiaries. The other thing that we've done with this new contract is, and this is a very exciting part for me, is that we have the ability now to really concentrate on how we want to design this integrated system of health around our patients. And so working with our new contractors, we're looking very closely at what their best practices are, because they are also commercial contractors,
sure, yeah.
as well as,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're their federal clients. But by looking at their portfolio of products that they offer the commercial and private sector, we hope to be able to leverage that. And as a matter of fact, the NDAA of this last year gives us that opportunity to pursue some of those opportunities.
Well, yeah, I think there's always opportunity, I mean, for identifying commercial best practices that that can translate. Not everyone does, right?
True.
Absolutely, because the government is unique, but there are opportunities there. So where are you in the implementation of the new TRICARE program?
Well, we're right in the middle right now of our transition work. And so we're actually working with our new contractors to explore which of those best practices, which of those commercial best practices can be translated into our military health system. And, you know, gratefully and surprisingly, we're finding a lot of opportunities.
That's great. Now, along those lines, there's a lot going on.
Yes.
There's so many different things that go. So I have to ask about the Genesis program.
Yes.
And I have to confess, I'm a Star Trek guy.
So, okay.
You know, so, and I don't know where the name came from, but you know,
Wrath
of Khan in that movie. Can you talk about Genesis and what's going on there?
So MHS Genesis is the new electronic health record for the military health system. And what's exciting about this is a commercial off-the-shelf product. So this is something that has a proven and a tested track record. So this is actually the Cerner Millennium product, which is something that is used in many healthcare systems and many hospitals across the United States. And what's very encouraging about this, there's a lot that we're actually saying about going with a commercial off-the-shelf product. Number one, we wanted to be able to work with something that the commercial sector already found valuable and trustworthy. And we also knew that as we moved into using this electronic health record that is a commercial product, that we also wanted to avail ourselves of the upgrades that come with an evolving IT product such as this. And as I'm sure most people recognize, IT and digital support to the healthcare is constantly evolving. So we wanted to be able to capitalize on that. The other thing that we found as a distinct advantage with going with a commercial off-the-shelf product is that it would allow us to meet national coordination or interoperability standards. And what that means is that our health record can be interoperable or can communicate with other health records that are currently being used in the commercial and private spaces. And as we're looking to make sure that we're gathering all of the healthcare episodes that our patients experience, we realize that we need to be able to communicate in a bidirectional way with those health records that are being used in the commercial space. And so that's what MHS Genesis allows us to do.
So in that regard, with you utilizing a commercial platform for MHS Genesis, it's fascinating to listen to your description and, you know, the benefits of doing so. The flip side of that, I'm sure there were some government unique requirements that had to be tailored and not tailored. Is that fair to say? And how'd you tackle that?
Oh yes. Well, of course there were benefits.
I assume the answer was yes. Yes. So how'd you tackle that? So
there were challenges on both sides because adopting a new commercial product for the military meant that we had to examine some of our workflows.
Yes.
And we had to actually adopt some of the commercial practices in order to fully leverage what this commercial off-the-shelf product would allow us to do. Now, at the same time, we wanted to bring this electronic health record onto our DoD information network, which meant that we had to make sure that the security posture of this electronic health record would match the DoD standards. And so by working very closely with our vendors, we were able to not only identify where it makes the most sense for us to adopt the workflows, both clinical and business, that are needed for the electronic health record, but we were also able to work with Cerner so that they could modify some of their security code in order to match ours. And so I think that it should be seen as a competitive and a strategic differentiator for the Cerner product to be able
to
say.
Right, it's a win-win.
Yes,
right,
yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's fascinating because you do, you know, when you go with a product like that and you're in the government, you do have to think organizational, like workflows, organizational behaviors and whether you have to adjust those in some way to take full advantage of the potential capability of the commercial product that you've acquired.
Oh, exactly.
So, and you brought up cyber a little bit. So, Have anything to add there?
Well, yes. I think that it's fair to say that we've already had fairly public examples of how people have used healthcare data in not very positive ways.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So we're realizing that people are using that as a tool to create havoc or harm to others. And so healthcare information needs to be kept secure. But it's being on the DoD information network, I mean, clearly we want to make sure that our electronic health record doesn't pose a vulnerability.
Yeah.
So that we can maintain our own security, our own information security within the DoD space.
Right. And Admiral, we're already up on the next break. time is flying here, but there's still a lot to talk about. My guest today is Vice Admiral Raquel Bono. She is a director of Defense Health Agency. And when we come back, we'll continue a little bit on the discussion of the role of the private sector in supporting DHA's mission of serving the warfighters' health needs and their families as well. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Vice Admiral Raquel Bono. She is the Director of Defense Health Agency. And we've been talking about DHA's mission, opportunities for leveraging commercial platforms. And I wanted to continue that conversation, Admiral. And give you an opportunity to talk a little bit more about, and from a wider perspective, how the private sector, how your industry partners can support the DHA mission and what opportunities there are there.
Well, absolutely. I think that this is, with the Defense Health Agency, we've been given an opportunity to really reach out and start working with more of the commercial and private entities that are out there. Not only have we started experiencing this with the electronic health record, but we realize, too, that we're not the only organization in town that provides healthcare delivery. And there are many models out there, and if we can start talking to some of our industry partners, we feel that we can start inculcating some of those best practices and figuring out what actually fits in our military health system. And I think that by doing this work, and certainly with the help of the NDAA, that allows us to create some of these military-civilian partnerships. And I think just recognizing and leveraging some of those best practices and seeing what some of the learned, lessons learned that other entities or organizations in this space can really help us with what we're trying to do.
Well, yeah, and when you describe that, you're sort of painting a picture that's really compelling in the sense that, the reorganization, the creation of DHA, some of the things have been done in the NDAA provide, sort of a central point by where you can identify those things, right?
Yes.
And, for the enterprise as a whole.
Yes.
So one of the things I want to bring up then too is the NDAA and your DHA's even more expanded role from last year's NDA in terms of, the management of the services, medical facilities. Can you talk about what that is and, your implementation plan
for
it?
Okay. Well, we stood up the Defense Health Agency, and so we were able to get some of our own expertise in terms of how we bring some of the shared services and how we identify, pursue, and actually actualize some of the efficiencies and the savings. And so with that as an experience there, the other piece that came under the Defense Health Agency is that we also had the opportunity to run one of the multi-service markets. And so the Defense Health Agency actually oversaw the National Capital Region Enhanced Multi-Service Market. And so through that, we've realized that there's tremendous power in organizing ourselves around a market. And the market, the way we had identified the markets is that it was a large catchment area of beneficiaries in which at least two services, either, Army or Navy or Navy and Air Force, at least two services were providing healthcare to that same catchment population. And so in those areas, we realized that we already have tremendous power in terms of what we've invested in our personnel, our fiscal and financial resources, our training, and our readiness platforms. And so it made sense that if we would use that market approach, that we could really optimize how we developed and delivered healthcare in those markets. So with the new NDAA, asking the DHA to oversee a lot more of this, we realized that the markets are probably one of the best ways to do this and to implement that. Because when we look at the six markets that were part of the DepSecDef memo that stood up the Defense Health Agency, that actually comprises 45% of where most of our resources are in the military health system. And it encompasses 45% of where we have our military treatment facilities. So if we can start with the markets, which we've already had a little bit of experience with, then that would probably be the springboard for a lot of the other places that the NDAA is asking the DHA to support.
And what's the timeline in the NDAA?
So 1 October 2018 is when we actually start implementing the NDAA as it's asked us to do. And so between now and then, building on what we've already learned and then really enhancing our conversations with our contractor, our vendor partners, and looking at what some of those solutions might look like is how we'll use the time between now and then.
Now, and is currently when you're what you're doing now, is it putting together the plan? It's the planning phase. Talk to me a little bit about how does that work with the service? Are we talking about integrated teams that are pulled together from across the services to work with DHA?
So when we stood up the Defense Health Agency, also in there, we already we established tri-service working groups. So we already have these working groups that are already representative of all the services. So rather than having to, you know, make a new toaster or a new mousetrap, we're leveraging that because we recognize they've got tremendous synapses between the services already, and it's just enhancing that in shaping the conversation and the solution sets going forward.
And when does it start to go from planning to actual implementation? That's kind of a gray demarcation or not?
I think it's actually part of a spectrum. We've actually started doing that conversation now, and we're already starting to look, where can we put some of these pieces in place now? And so I think what you'll start seeing us do, and actually we're doing a tremendous amount about this, is we're looking at some of our contracts and looking to see, okay, where can we achieve some of those efficiencies? Where can we look for those commonalities in some of our contracting and our procurement? And so we've already started doing that. We've already started having the conversations. Now what we need to do is kind of cast a wider view to see how well can we scale it to all the markets. And so I think that's an ongoing thing. But in terms of, you know, when is the go date, I would say that we're kind of probably moving into that go date as we're having these conversations.
So when you talk about the contracts, what I visualize is the idea that, you know, this Army facility has a contract for, you know, sutures or whatever, right? And then the Navy hospital, in the town next to it has the same kind of contract.
Yes.
You're looking at this sort of redundancy to try to identify where you could scale it to, whether it's a multiple ward contract or whatever for that product. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Okay. As a matter of fact, let me give you an example of something that kind of helps ties it all in. So if we're looking across the markets, and let's just use IV pumps, you know, the pumps that we use to give fluid to our patients. If you look at the number of IV pumps that are out there commercially, there's a vast number of them. Now, how many do we actually need to have in each MTF? And if we can agree that maybe instead, and this is just a notional figure, instead of using 1,000 different IV pumps, how about if we use 10 or 20? Mm-hmm. And so how do we make sure that those 10, I'll just use 10, are available to be bought by each of the MTFs? Here's the other piece about that. When we're looking at those IV pumps, we know that we want them to be able to reside on our infrastructure, our architecture that we've created for the MHS Genesis.
Okay.
And so we want them to be able to communicate with each other so that the information that we're gathering from the IV pumps get automatically downloaded into our electronic health record. So we're going to be looking at interfaces and interoperability and selecting those IV pumps that not only have those interfaces that'll work with our new electronic health record, but that already match some of our security standards that we need. And then now if we go ahead and put those IV pumps on our electronic catalog, that's what the MTFs will be able to buy in an organized fashion, but we'll be able to aggregate our buying power in order to get competitive prices for those IV pumps. And if I take it one step further back to the warfighter and readiness, not only do we make sure that our warfighters are ready to go into battle, into harm's way when they need to, but if they're injured, we need to be able to take care of them at the point of injury. So if we have the same IV pumps downrange,
Throughout the system, then
we've already started addressing how we can streamline our training costs and our resupply and our logistics in terms of having those materials readily available.
And part of the conversation, I think you mentioned it back at the beginning of the segment, but also this conversation, how you get there, includes industry. Like,
yes,
it will include industry and the contractors who provide the IV pumps to try
Absolutely.
To figure it out, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that I think is so exciting about what we're doing here in the Defense Health Agency. We're really looking to learn from industry. And I've been leaning forward in many of my conversations and many of our engagements to talk to industry so that we can have those ongoing conversations about what are you working on? You know, what potential solutions could we use in our space?
Right. And I think flexibility is going to be one of the keys because medical technology changes rapidly, right? People think information technology changes rapidly. Medical is far quicker.
Right.
Yes. Well, we're already up at the last break. My guest today is Vice Admiral Raquel Bono. She is the Director of Defense Health Agency. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about DHA's mission, maybe a little bit more about the NDAA and last year's NDAA and what it means and what's ahead. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Vice Admiral Raquel Bono. She is the Director of Defense Health Agency, and we've been talking about DHA's mission, its challenges and its opportunities. And I know we touched a little bit on it in the last segment. One of the challenges and opportunities is the medical technology and its evolution and its capability to provide better outcomes for those that need medical care and our warfighters, their families, the retirees. So I just want to give you a chance to talk about that because that is that it's a universal, concern across government and particularly in the Department of Defense right now about access to commercial innovation. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that? And what is DHA looking at?
Well, I think that it's no secret that DOD does look for ways that we can move into the commercial space a little bit more easily. And the Defense Health Agency is really capitalizing on that movement. I think the MHS Genesis is a really good example of how we're moving into that commercial space. But we also recognize there are many more solution sets out there, whether it's evolving and emerging technology or it's programs and applications that provide solutions or even processes or even other equipment. And so what the DHA is doing is working a little bit more closely with the commercial organizations out there. And we recognize, though, that we have to make it a little easier for us to be able to have those conversations. So in the Defense Health Agency, a couple of things that we're doing is we're conducting more industry days. And so we'll be sending out announcements and inviting people to join us in those industry days as we explore different types of solution sets that we're facing or that we need for how we're delivering our healthcare. We're also going to be setting up something. It's still a little early, but we're working on the actual ins and outs of this. But we're also interested in working with a number of different vendors. And so we're actually setting up a listserv with vendors from a variety of different areas in the healthcare arena. And we're not just limiting ourselves to healthcare. We want to be able to see what other things are going on out in industry. So our intent is we'll send out some thoughts or areas where we would like to explore what potential solutions would be looking like, inviting our vendor partners, our vendors who are on our listserv to submit one-pagers to give us some idea of what you're working on and what kind of solutions you have. We'll call through those one-pagers, select a handful or maybe a dozen of those and conduct our own Shark Tank so that we can kind of select.
Very cool. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we can kind of start reaching out. And then the final thing that we're doing, because we really recognize that there's an awful lot of innovation and solutions with startups and entrepreneurs. So we're actually working with the DIUX in Austin, Texas, which is the Defense Experimental Unit. Let me see if I've got that. Defense Experimental Unit. I'm using
the innovation guys.
Innovation, that's it. Yeah, Defense Innovation Unit Experimental. That's it. So DIUX. And so we've started working with the one in Austin, Texas, because we're interested in pursuing things like predictive analytics and artificial intelligence. And so we're looking at some projects there that we're going to be able to work with. So very excited at this opportunity to work with industry.
Yeah, and you know, and listening to this to you today, you know, I wanted to bring this up before I ask you some personal
okay.
questions. But it, you know, the DHA's the current model strikes me when you look at Secretary Mattis's memo about cross-functional.
Yes.
This is, you know, example number one here, I would think.
I would agree. I think that when Secretary Mattis sent out his memo asking for cross-functional teams, he asked to make sure that we pay attention to our different service cultures and make sure we preserve all that, but at the same time, lean forward to find those efficiencies and explore what the art of the possible looks like. I think what we're doing at the Defense Health Agency, and especially with the NDAA, that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay, that's great. So how did, I have to ask you a little bit about, I mean,
sure.
That's interesting. So how did you, you know, come to decide to be a doctor?
This is a great story, and many people have heard it, but it's always something that I like to relive. So my father is also a surgeon,
okay.
And he was undergoing his training when we lived in Minnesota. Because I was the oldest child, I was able to wait up for him to have dinner with him just for a short period of time. And one night when we were having dinner, just before my mother rushed me off to bed, I told my father that I wanted to be a nurse because I wanted to be able to spend more time in the hospital so I could see him. And my father said, well, why don't you want to be a doctor? And I told him, I said, I didn't know that girls could be doctors. But he told me that you could be whatever you want. And so I grew up with that belief that I could be whatever I want. But what's really funny about that story, I mean, because clearly I went into medicine and have just grown up with that mindset. But my oldest daughter was asking me one time when she was in second grade, about the same age I was when
sure.
I was having dinner with my dad. She wanted to know what a surgeon in the Navy does. And so I was explaining to her what I do, how I take, you know, I meet patients, I take them to the OR, I help them recover. And after I finished this very lengthy discussion with this, my daughter, she said, she looks up at me, she goes, Mama, can boys be doctors too? and I realized I'd come full circle.
That is full circle.
It
That's
is.
A great story. That
it
is a great story. You know, across your career, the different tours you've done, you know, I was looking at your bio. I just wanted to ask this. Was there one particular opportunity or tour that impacted you the most, or sort of shaped where you how you ended up where you are now? I mean, you're playing a different role than
yes.
you know. You're not a doctor every day, right?
No,
you know,
no.
You're a manager of a $50 billion organization.
Right.
So was there something that impressed you that hey, I want to continue to serve in this way? Or
you know, I think it's actually a series of things. And I'm one of those fortunate people that I think every job that I've had in the military has been my best job. And so now I'm in the Defense Health Agency, and this is my
best
job.
Not many people can say that.
No, I know, exactly. And that's why I think that this is so, you know, why I think I relish the work that I'm doing. But I think that there is probably a pivotal point, you know, that where I started seeing an opportunity that I didn't realize that I could help, you know, contribute to that. And that is while I very much enjoyed being a healthcare provider as a surgeon, and I really enjoyed my relationship with my patients and working the collegiality that I experienced working with the nurses and the physical therapists and the techs and the radiologists and all the other disciplines within the healthcare space, I realized that while I really enjoyed that, I was limited in that I was only helping one patient at a time. And as I watched the healthcare environment, not just in the military, but across the United States, as I watched to see the challenges that were happening in healthcare, I realized that if I could get involved in a slightly different way, at a slightly different level, then I might be able to help more patients at one time rather than one patient at a time. And I'll tell you what the real motivation is for me within the Defense Health Agency. Is that I know that if we can do what we have got ahead of us in the military health system with all the opportunities that the NDAA is giving us, with the launch of our MHS Genesis, and with what we're doing with TRICARE 2017 and our contracts, if we can get all those pieces lined up and executed in the right way, I bet you that we can help inform and shape the solutions for the national healthcare challenges, because I think the military health system is just that good.
Well, that's a great way to end the show.
thank you.
Admiral, thank you for your service, and thank you for being on the show today.
I
really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
My guest today has been Vice Admiral Raquel Bono. She is the Director of Health of the Defense Health Agency, and you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.